Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 104, all about aid stations, how to maneuver through an aid station on race day, how to volunteer at an aid station, and much more. But first, two announcements. One, please follow me on Instagram at Mojo for Running. I love it when you comment on my posts and share them. It's great to have the opportunity to interact with you. I've been shooting lots of videos lately. Some of them are on Periscope, so I hope you'll follow me there. And some of those videos I do live on Facebook. Those are on the Mojo for Running Facebook page. Please check it out. This coming weekend, I'll be traveling to Duluth, Minnesota with my Run Tampa Club for Grandma's Marathon and Half, and I plan to record several live videos while I'm there, so keep an eye on Periscope and the Mojo for Running Facebook page to see those. I am super excited to get to do that race. It's been on my bucket list for some time. We've got 65 people going, so it should be an amazing, amazing weekend. I hope you'll share my posts and videos to show my appreciation. I'll be giving away prizes, and you can enter by sharing the link to my podcast or sharing an Instagram post or a Facebook post or a Twitter post. But, and this is super important, by sharing a Twitter post, I mean retweeting, but whichever way you share my post or my content, wherever you share it, please be sure to use the hashtag at Mojo for Running when you share. Otherwise, I may not even ever know that you shared the content, and then I can't enter you in the contest for the giveaway. Now, today's topic, aid stations or water stops. First, let's talk about the best strategy for maneuvering through an aid station area if you're not planning on taking water. And let's stop here for me to point out that you shouldn't feel like you need to stop at every one. The shorter race, the less water you're going to need. Obviously, the shorter the duration. On the contrary, most people will not stop in a 5K or a 10K because most people won't need water during a race of that distance, unless maybe it's really hot. In a longer race, most people will stop. However, since many people either wear hydration packs or belts and carry their own water, there are many people who will never be stopping at an aid station. This may be faster, but it's critical to have a strategy and pay close attention to what's going on around you because many people don't know the guidelines for accessing water, proper etiquette, or they just don't pay attention or don't care. So sometimes being on high alert from the time you first see an aid station until you're well past it can save you time and aggravation. If you've done many 5Ks, you know that many people still do stop for water, but most don't. It's absolutely necessary to have at least one water stop because newer and slower runners will be out there for a while. And I think newer runners tend to feel like drinking water will make it somehow easier. Since you have more less experienced runners in a 5K race, there will be more confusion as well. Also, there are more kids in 5K races just because they're shorter, and that can add to confusion because obviously they're not very experienced. Plus, newer runners may not have any experience with aid stations, and they're nervous. Many people won't stop for water in a 10K either, but many will. Most races will have aid stations every couple of miles. That's recommended. I did an in-depth podcast about hydration. It's number 67, so I won't really talk about how to hydrate or how much you need to drink here because, like I said, that's a very detailed podcast. Here, I will just discuss the strategy for actually navigating the water stop. So first of all, stay alert, like I said, watching the movements of the runners around you, because sometimes people will dart at the last minute. If you're not getting water yourself, move to the other side of the street. If there are water stops on both sides, set a course straight down the middle or close to the middle. Watch out for discarded cups and spilled fluids. If you're getting water, move over closer to that side of the road well ahead of time, and then call out which drink you want as you approach the table. Call out either water or the name of the electrolyte beverage. Then make eye contact with a volunteer that's holding the right beverage. The volunteers should be calling out what they're holding. Often, the aid station captain will be stationed several yards ahead of the aid station and will call out which drink is first and which is second. This is very helpful. Keep an eye on the people around you to gauge their moves and ensure that you don't both aim at the same cup. Once you have your cup, take care to keep moving forward. If you know one of the volunteers, this is not a good time to visit. Keep moving forward to avoid any congestion. The goal of the aid station is to keep it going and get water to all the runners as efficiently as possible without any congestion. Their goal is to make it fluid, to keep it working well. If you need help of some kind, steer off to the side before you get to the tables. Don't stop in front of the table. Once you have the cup, move quickly. Beyond the tables, move over to the side of the road or trail edge if you're walking while drinking. Most people will be better off walking while drinking. Certainly, it's possible to drink while running, but it's also easier to choke. Believe me, I've done it. Of course, if you practice a lot, you definitely should be able to keep this from happening. But you can still have a great performance even if you walk through the aid stations. Walking will slow you down, yes, but it will also give your muscles a brief rest. Many people following the Jeff Galloway walk-run protocol always utilize a walk-run strategy in marathons and do quite well. I'm talking about people who've been doing marathons for years. So that's definitely something that you might want to consider, and it definitely is proof that walking through an aid station is not going to have a negative impact on your race. Maybe if you're working at a really high level, but there have been people who've won marathons that walk through aid stations, so I wouldn't worry about it. Certainly, there's no reason to be stressed about losing time while walking through an aid station, unless you stop at every single one and walk every one very slowly. If you plan to run through an aid station, then be sure to practice during training runs. The best technique is to pinch one side of the top edge of the cup, and this will make a smaller opening. Then drink from the other side. After drinking, if a trash can is handy, put it in, but don't disrupt the traffic flow to get to one. This can cause an unsafe situation. There is no way for everyone to aim for that same trash can without causing congestion. Do toss your cup off to the side of the road as close to the aid station as possible. If you don't drink at all, no problem, but be careful not to toss it on another runner's feet. Watch where you're throwing. One more thing. Thank the volunteers as you go by. They probably had to be on site before you had to be at the start of the race, and they'll be there until long after you pass by. Once the last runner goes by, then they'll still be needing to clean up. Now, what if you're on the other side of the table? In other words, what if you're the volunteer? First, let me say thank you. If you haven't volunteered, please do. You may be surprised to discover that it's great fun. At least it is when you volunteer with my group. So often, people volunteer on behalf of our club, their first time volunteering at an aid station, and afterwards they go on and on and on about how much fun they had. The fun at the aid station is largely because of the captains who made it fun for all involved, but also because the people just like to have a good time. These people just enjoy being together. Volunteering is a great way to make new friends and give back to the sport you love. Every race must have volunteers, loads of volunteers. And if the volunteers are runners, that's the best possible situation because they understand much better than others what's going on and what the runners need. Let me digress for a minute and give some examples. I want to depart from our discussion of aid stations. Have you ever been to a race and something gets screwed up by volunteers? The worst situation, or certainly one of the worst, is when someone has the job of being a course marshal, telling people where to go, where to turn, but that person, or people working the race, don't really want to be there, and they don't care, and they send people the wrong way. Not deliberately, but they're just not paying enough attention. Have you ever experienced that? Well, I have. On two different occasions, I was in a race where there was a huge problem. One time, the course marshals got confused about the routes for the two different races. One was a 5K and the other was a 5 mile. I was near the finish line. I was just there coaching that day. I wasn't running. And I was dumbfounded when people started running past me and calling out in great frustration that they were sent the wrong way, that they all knew they had ended up going the wrong distance. With these runners, when these runners finished and compared notes, and by this I mean comparing their GPS watches, they all had one of three different distances on their GPS watches, depending on which route they were directed to take. Fully half the people who did that race either went too far or not far enough and were disqualified. That was heartbreaking. Another time, when we got to the last aid station in a 15K, it wasn't even set up. The table was still folded up on the ground, and the water jugs and cups were on the ground next to it. No one had shown up to man that aid station. If you are a runner, please do your part and volunteer at least at a couple races a year. If everyone did that, there would always be plenty of volunteers, and they would be runners who know enough and care enough to do it right. In the above-mentioned examples, I think probably those volunteers were high school students that just got sort of forced into helping out, and they just weren't committed to doing it well, or they didn't get good instructions. I don't know. I just know it was a horrible situation in each case. There is more to volunteering than you think, but it's super easy. One, there likely will be someone heading up the aid station, and that person will be in contact with you in this couple of weeks prior to race day. It's a bigger job than you think. Do your best to save the emails, maps, whatever is sent to you. You don't want to be the one or one of the ones to call or text to be one of 20 people doing that who want to know what time to arrive, how long you'll need to be there, where you'll need to park, the location of the aid station, whether you get a volunteer shirt, what your size is, when you'll get it, and on, when all that information was provided a week or 2 weeks beforehand. There are plenty of details, but as a volunteer, you can make the volunteer coordinator's life much easier by going to the trouble to read the emails when you receive them, ask questions immediately if there's something you don't understand, and make note of the information when it's distributed. The best thing is to save it on your phone and flag it so that it's really easy for you to pull up when it gets to race time. Two rules are more important than anything else. One, if you say you'll be there, be there. Two, be there on time. It's best to have a couple of volunteers behind the table who handle filling the cups, which, by the way, should be 2/3 full. If you have extra volunteers, they can form a cheerleading squad, but this should be separate from the aid station, enough distance away to prevent any congestion near the table. Now, if you're the one serving water, hold your arm out, way out, but look towards the runners and call out what fluid you're holding. You can either hold the top edge of the cup between your thumb and index finger, or let the cup rest on the palm of your hand. Paper cups work best, by the way, and 8 to 10 ounce is a good size. That's it. I told you there was more to an aid station than you might think. If you're putting on a race, especially if it's your first race, you can find information about what you need to provide runners and how to set up aid stations from the Road Runners Clubs of America. But in addition, please work with an experienced race director. There's nothing like experience. That's it. Now, your homework. If you haven't volunteered at a race in the last couple of months, your homework is to make plans for volunteering at two races between now and the end of the year. If you feel like this and my other episodes were valuable, I hope you'll go to my website, mojoforrunning.com. You'll see a button with a photo of a cup of coffee. You can click that to donate to support this podcast. I've got a coffee level for $5, a wine and chocolate level for $10, dinner for $25, and date night for $50. Any donation is very welcome. Also, I do coaching conferences for runners who are struggling with one thing or another. Just go to the website and click Coaching Conference in the menu bar. Then you'll get a form to fill out, which gives me a lot of background information, tells me your goals, what your current training is like, what the problem is that you're having, what you've done to try to correct it, etc., etc. When I receive that form, I'll send you an email to set up a conference and an invoice. Here are some of the things I've helped people with over the years. Runners who just can't get faster, even after working really hard for a while. runners who want help with planning their first marathon or half, runners in the military who are struggling to run 2 miles in 16 minutes to pass a PT test or to be eligible for promotion. Being as I live a few miles from MacDill Air Force Base, I've helped several runners with that task. Once I worked with Edward because he wanted to go to airborne school, but he had to get that 2 miles in 16 minutes to qualify, and he'd been working on it for a while. Well, just let me tell you, he did. I've helped people who are just plain stuck in a rut, too. Whatever your problem, I'm happy to help you make a plan. Now, today's quote. Volunteers do not necessarily have the time. They have the heart. That's from Elizabeth Andrews. I'll be back soon.